Down the line, it's a clean winner, and it brings up match points.
Too good. Beautiful forehand, good movement to get there. Could have been awkward, it was low down. But just like she's been really all the way through the match, too consistent, too solid, too calm.
Three match points on the Andreeva serve. The first of them is to the forehand of Paolini. Backhand with a short angle from Andreeva. She winds up a big forehand. Paolini's there to cover that cross court. Another deep forehand from Andreeva. Now slicing, shortish ball. This could be it for Paolini. This is it for Jasmine Paolini. The pocket rocket powers through to her first Grand Slam final at the age of 28. It wasn't to be for the talented teenager. She's done brilliantly to get this far, but she couldn't find her A game today. And Italy's golden fortnight at Roland Garros keeps getting better.
Well, what a story. Jasmine Paolini, until this year, had never really thought about going deep in any Grand Slam. No one had talked about her, and here she is in a final and totally deserving of it.
Swift exit for Mira Andreeva. She will, of course, learn from this, but right now it'll feel so raw, so painful.
It's fine when the winner is sort of making her way to the net, grinning away towards her team, and they have to get rid of that smile to shake hands. It's a bit strange, and then back comes the smile. But yeah, she totally deserved it. It was too solid. I mean, you look at the stats, don't always tell the story, but 30 unforced errors just means that she was giving too many easy points away, and can't do that in a semi-final especially.
Our mate Alex Crutch is on court, ready to talk to a beaming Jasmine.
Jasmine, complimenti, congratulations, first time Roland Garros final. This is a huge moment in your career. You deserve. You worked so hard. Here you are. Everybody loves it. And I don't know if you are more relieved or more happy.
I'm more happy for sure. Yeah, it was. Thank you. Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. It was a tough match. She's playing unbelievable. She's 70 years old. She's so complete, so I was a little bit nervous before the match. I lost against her 1 month ago, so I was like, come on, you have to do better. And yeah, today I was nervous in the first set, but then ball after ball I was, you know, getting relaxed. And I know it's tough to be relaxed in this stage, but yeah, I'm really happy that I managed to, you know, to win the match at the end.
You said that you lost to her in Madrid, different conditions. Did you check that match with Renzo and your team to see what you can do better? Because today it seems like the tactics were great. Play maybe a little bit more slow, then change the pace, and especially your forehand was unbelievable.
We didn't watch the match, but I had in my mind, and I think also Renzo, because yeah, it was painful in Madrid, you know. I was up in the first set 5-2, and then I lost. So yeah, I was like to just step on court and try to do better. You know her a little bit better. So yeah, just, you know, hit the ball, enjoy, and yeah, it worked. So I'm really happy. Yeah.
And how important is to dream big in order to achieve huge things in life?
I think a lot. I learned, I think, a little bit later than other players maybe, but yeah, to dream it's, I think, the most important thing in sport and in life. So yeah, I'm happy that I could dream this moment, and yeah, I don't know what to say, I'm so emotional.
Very good. You know what, you are so emotional. I'm not going to talk about the finals because this is your moment. You need to enjoy. You're still in semifinals also in doubles. Vuoi dire qualche cosa a tutti le tifosi italiano che ti guardano la televisione o quale stadio?
Grazie mille ragazzi, è stato veramente un piacere. Grazie a quelli che mi seguono da casa e merci beaucoup a tutta la Francia, a tutta la France.
Bravo. We see you on Saturday. Congratulations. Thank Jasmine Paolini qualifiée pour la finale de Roland Garros. Complimenti. Bravo.
She's got a winning smile and she had a winning game today, as she quite rightly mentioned. It was only a few weeks ago that she lost to the same player on clay in Madrid. But, you know, she was saying there, of course I was nervous to begin with, but the more I got into it, you could sense the accomplished performance on that forehand wing in particular, as Alex Kuretcha said. It was never really in any doubt, Simon, was it?
No, it wasn't. And I think we were talking early on about the game style that she has means that she hits with a lot of margin, so she can sort of feel her way into a match. It's not like she's trying to bash flat winners and then they just go wide or long. She was able to work her way into the match, get through those nerves, and then really just be too patient for Andreeva, who definitely didn't play her best, but there were lots of rallies where there were lots of well-struck shots from Andreeva, and then she would lose the point. So a lot to learn for her on her first semi-final, but a great win for Paolini. And I think, you know, it just shows you what you can do if you keep trying. As she said, you've got a dream, because otherwise what's the point?
Yeah. So she becomes only the third Italian woman to make it through to the final at Roland Garros ever. She is the second shortest woman ever to make a Grand Slam final, along with Roberto Vinci. The shortest, I know, don't particularly like to dwell on these things, but it's an interesting fact, and good luck to them all. Dominika Cibulkova, 5'3". Both Vinci and Jasmine are 5'4". She's played Świątek on two previous occasions. Probably won't surprise anybody to hear that she lost both those matches. What will she attempt to do to make a match of it on Saturday, do you think?
Well, the only thing she can really do is attempt to make as many balls as possible, run down everything that Iga throws at her. We know how dominant Świątek is, how she stands on the baseline, inside the baseline. She dominates the real estate, as they like to say, but she's just going to have to be consistent, not go for too much too soon, and hope that Świątek is a little bit off her game. I think that's really her best bet.
Well, we'll see exactly what unfolds on Saturday afternoon. Before that, tomorrow, of course, we've got the men's singles starting at 2:15, ball-by-ball commentary of both of those, hopefully without any other stumbled words. It's Jannik Sinner against Carlos Alcaraz. Oh, what a match that's going to be, followed of course by Sasha Zverev against Casper Ruud. And before that, we've got our team dinner tonight.
Thank you for all your messages of people saying enjoy your team dinner.
Oh, that's
You've
very
earned
kind
it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, and we appreciate all the tweets, all the emails. Keep them coming at radio_RG, at radio_RG. You can email us frenchopenradio@fft.fr. I suspect there may be a picture or two, the ones we can publish tomorrow morning. And if we get Chris Bowers eating that stale bread, that'll be the main one. But thanks to Simon Cambers, I'm Marcus Buckland. We will be back, Stefan confirms to me, at 2:15 tomorrow afternoon, ahead of the first of the men's singles semi-finals. But until then, from me, Marcus Buckland, goodbye.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
You're taking a pretty big risk to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles-type return from the deuce court, because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal. See the offer, see what that is.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
And I'm happy to say they are. I can see the mixed doubles finalists in the tunnel waiting to be brought out onto Philippe Chatrier. It is day 12. It is Thursday. I keep thinking it's Friday, but it's Thursday. It's women's semi-finals day. But we start with our first final of 2024 here at Roland Garros. The sun is shining. The roof is open. The crowds are in. The introductions are going to be made. Really, really looking forward to getting this day off to a great start with this final. The crowd are being warmed up by Marc Murray, and very shortly the players will make their way up the tunnel. So from 3 o'clock we've got Coco Gauff against Iga Świątek, and that is followed by this surprising semi-final of Jasmine Paolini against Mira Ondrejva. Tomorrow you've got the men's semis. We believe it's Yannick Sinner, Carlos Alcaraz in the day from 2:30. We'll cover all the action on Philippe Chatrier for you, but the music is telling us that very shortly the players will be given the little sign. And then they can pick up their bags and they can make their way up the stairs. We have two sets of seeds taking on each other in this final of the mixed doubles. You can hear a ball being bounced as the LED screens around Philippe Chatrier let the players know, and they're being summoned now. Stop shaking hands with people. It's time to play tennis. So they will get themselves set up. That's just a little speaking you can hear there of, you've got to go first. No, you're first. Who's going first? No one knows who's going first. I'm assuming it's going to be Sigmund and Roger Vasselin, because they are the lower ranked of the two as the eighth seeds. So I'm assuming that they will be first on court. Or it might not be. It might be the fourth seeds.
Du tournoi double mixte.
Here we go.
Roland Garros 2024.
It's going to be Dzerry Krawczyk and Neil Skupski, the first two out. They are the fourth seeds. Oh, Sigmund and Edouard Rojavasa, the second seeds, I see. Here we go. Right, to the introductions. The American-British combination.
La première équipe à entrer a déjà emporté deux titres en Grand Chelem en double mixte. L'américaine Dzerry Krawczyk, associée au Britannique Neil Skupski.
There we go. Krawczyk and Skupski, smiles on the faces, walk out into the brilliant sunshine on Philippe Chatrier. It's a wonderful crowd. They just sort of let everyone in just to get a really good crowd. Everyone's piling in the seats. The boxes at the front are full. No one's thinking about lunch. Everyone's in the stadium. And I do apologise to Sigmund and Roger Vasselin for demoting them 6 places in the seedings. They are the second seeds. They played 2 matches yesterday. They're fired up. They're ready to go. Are they rested? We will find out. Here is their introduction.
Et ils sont opposés à l'une des têtes de série de ce tournoi double mixte, l'Allemande Laura Sigmund et le Français Edouard Roger Vasselin.
Oh, there's the cheer for the Frenchman, very popular man, waving to the crowd. We've got both sets of players. We have Stefan on the controls. It didn't play the night session jingle this morning because he went early yesterday. The night sessions are over, but I'm very happy to say myself, she's here alongside Simon and Courtney. Gentlemen, how are you this Thursday afternoon?
Good morning, afternoon, whatever it is. My watch has stopped again. It's excellent.
But, a bit like your car, good. Isn't it? How is the car, by the way?
The car's not in good shape. It's being shipped back to the UK. But
shipped?
Well, hopefully.
It'll take a while. Need some work. We have to get it assessed in the UK instead.
Oh, crikey.
It's too expensive to fix here.
How's the watch? Is that going to be okay?
The watch will just start again when it feels like it. It's got a mind of its own. But I'm looking forward to this because this is it's going to be good.
My understanding is that they're possibly going to push the car off the boat halfway across.
I think it sounds sensible, if I'm honest. Yes. I think you should just say, you can keep it. But this, Courtney, it's our first final of Roland Garros 2024.
It's almost as though the skies were crying in the first week with the potential departure of Rafael Nadal, maybe Andy Murray, Elise Cornet, Jeremy Shardy.
The list just goes on.
A lot of players perhaps leaving. But now that we're at the finals, the sunshine is out and it's a celebration of all good things tennis. Number or player?
Right, the housekeeping.
Player.
There it goes.
It's player. Serve.
That was Neil Skupski saying, we will serve. Sigmund and Roger Vasselin debating where the sun is. Oh, we're going to change. They are going to change, but they've got to have a photo before they change. We have our team dinner this evening, been working out the seating plan, which is very exciting. Marcus might have a surprise for someone at the dinner. All I'm going to say, because I think I should just help you out here, is before you take any, just look at the bread you're taking from the bread basket, and I'm just going to leave it there. I'm going to put it out there and leave it there.
Is it bring your own night?
It might be. Bring your own very old stuff night. Now, in terms of what we have here, we have, Simon, four very, very experienced players.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Eduard Roger Vasselin, 40 years old, and is doing very well to have played twice yesterday. I know he's a professional sportsman, but it's rough. It's rough having to do that. And Laura Siegmund's been around a long time, loves a drop shot. Can't really do that in mixed too often. And then you've got Desiree Kravchuk, who I think that you could make a case for her being the best doubles player in the world. Her and Su Weishei. I mean, she is constantly in these finals, mixed especially. She's almost like a mixed doubles expert. And Neil Skupski, and the two of them make a great pair. Skupski, plenty of experience in these Grand Slam finals as well, and got their revenge yesterday in the semis against Su Weishei and Jan Zielinski. And I think they're the favourites today.
You think they're the favourites?
I would make the favourite.
Courtney?
It's amazing. Desiree Kravchuk, the baby face at 30. Average age on court, 35. 140 years of experience between them, and 140 years of great tennis between them as well. I love these matches because you see all the craft, all the doubles craft that makes such superb tennis players. And I think we're in for a treat today. It's great to see the crowd filing in as I was weaving through the crowd on the way to get to here this morning. It was big queues out the front, and it's a really nice crowd in place for this mixed doubles final.
Well, it's a really good idea to let everybody in, because you know, too often we see with doubles finals the crowd a little bit sparse. People do come out, but they've got other things to do, and they're building to their bigger ticket later. But it's great, you know, you let ground passes in, and that's what really all of the slam should do, because they deserve it, these guys,
to see the lower bowl this full. Because sometimes in the corporate box, you understand they've got the corporate entertainment, and people are late, and some people get invited on a corporate ticket. They're not a massive tennis fan anywhere. They're just kind of mingling and meeting people. But in these seats, you've got the hardcore tennis fans that have probably largely ground passes for today, and they're on Philippe Chatrier.
And it's a wonderful experience, and it is truly a fabulous court. You pinch yourself when you get to watch some tennis here, and last night I was able to sit outside for quite a while, and just that atmosphere was outstanding again. And then here we are today. Yeah, not that long later, and it's a really good crowd in attendance.
When you get, you know, when you're low down in the seats that all the fans have filed into, you get a really different look at what the match is like and how good these players are. So it's a great experience for them.
Yeah, it's absolutely packed. At @radio_RG, if you'd like to get in touch with us. I keep thinking it's Friday. It is Thursday afternoon. French Open Radio at fft.fr is the email address. We love hearing from you. Don't forget, we've got the women's semi-finals. Now, they start at 3 o'clock. Iga Świątek, Coco Gauff, followed by Jasmine Paolini and Mira Andreeva. The sun is shining, the weather is set, the players are out, and we're going to get started with this first final of 2024. So I'll leave you in the very capable hands of Stefan Simon, who's desperately trying to get his watch going, and Courtney.
You know, thank you very much, Gigi. It's a, in theory, a solar-powered watch.
So I'm going to stick it
so
in the window.
It's useless in the first place, isn't it?
Absolutely useless. That's probably why it conked out.
It's a brave watch to have living in the UK.
I know. It broke down in Australia, of all places.
Did it?
Yeah. But it's just
a theme.
It starts up on its own sometimes.
It's upside down in Australia, though. That's why.
That's right.
Things do not work as expected.
Well, there are clocks if you need to know the time, but I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of Simon and Courtney as we build up to the start of this final.
Thanks, Shiji. We are ready to go. Well, most of the players just completing their warm-ups. A few serves to go. Skupski and Kravchuk, left and right-handed combination. The two right-handers, Roger Vasselin, the veteran of the group, at 40 years old. And a lot on the line here because, you know, mixed doubles, not everyone plays it, but it's actually a real art to it. And I think Kravchuk could be considered a mixed doubles specialist, the way her success has been over the years as she finishes her serving and runs to the chair to get ready. And we're looking forward to this because there's a lot at stake. Obviously, a Grand Slam title. Both teams having to work hard on the way to the final. Both winning champions tiebreaks. I should remind you that the mixed doubles is two sets, and then if they're level at a set all, it's a 10-point first to 10 tiebreak. So that's also why the fans love it, because they know it's not going to be a 5-hour epic, and they don't have to sit there all that time, which can be difficult. And they get a chance to play some great doubles.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the tactics that unfold in this match, Simon, whether we see both players charging the net, whether we see one at the baseline, what happens when they're returning. Is it the traditional pattern, or do we see some change-ups from the wily old campaigners?
Well, I can already see that Siegerman is standing a bit deep on the non-receiver's side. Now she's moved forward inside the box. It's Skupski to get us underway. Misses the first serve. Serving to Roger Vasselin. Serves. Good kick serve down the tee, and Roger Vasselin gets it. Skupski immediately tries to go down the line. Don't know why I called him Skupski. Although he is from Liverpool, so in Liverpool probably is Neil Skupski. But it's just, we'll say Neil Skupski for the sake of this. First point goes to Siegerman and Roger Vasselin. Number two seeds. Dropped two sets on the way to the final. Three matches won in champions tiebreaks. Two matches won by Kravchuk and Skupski in the same way. Skupski misses the first serve. It's a lovely morning, lunchtime. Here at Roland Garros, watching Kravchuk just using the hand signals behind her back to tell Skupski where she's going to go off the serve and where to serve. Great return from Siegerman right at the feet of Skupski. Can't deal with it. It's love 30.
So in a little bit of trouble early on, the number four seeds who decided to serve after winning the toss or winning the... Is it the balls and racket? Is that what we do when they're tossing the coin here?
I think so, yeah. Ball and racket.
Ball and racket. And a couple of strong returns. Skupski trying to go with the drive forehand on the first one, just an error. So now love 30.
Big serve from Skupski. Returned well by Roger Vasselin. Goes cross-court with a forehand. Skupski trying to push Roger Vasselin back. The ball goes up high and Skupski waits for it. Goes down the line and Siegerman gets there quickly on the volley, but good recovery from Skupski. Now they're switch sides as they go cross-court to cross-court on the backhand. Up the line goes Skupski, but Siegerman is waiting for it. Puts the volley away.
Just a superb point there from Lara. She waited. She chose the right ball initially to cross with both players going up and down the line, the both men. Didn't quite put it away, but it actually set the point up in some regard. The exchange from then off forehand to backhand court to the backhand court before she, again, the drive down the line and a beautiful angled forehand volley. Three break points to start.
Already trouble for Skupski and Kravchuk on the Skupski serve. Kravchuk crouching low at the net, quite close to the centre line. Skupski actually serves around her, almost. Wasn't necessarily the plan. He missed it. Missed the first serves. Kravchuk just going through a few different signals, and when Skupski's ready and happy, he serves his second serve. Kick to the backhand of Siegerman, who can't control it, goes long.
Yeah, almost serving directly over the top of his partner. Now, she's not getting traditionally low in terms of you quite often see if you're playing that formation, which is almost not quite the tandem or the I. It's probably the I formation,
yeah.
As close to that as possible. And you see the player at the net on their knees, or you know, bending down on their knees, sort of on their haunches, ready to spring into action. Kravchuk more, I suppose, bends over and keeps the legs straight, so she's upright quicker. It's an interesting move.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous, but I haven't quite seen that.
No, it's true. Usually they're much more crouched. Skupski misses the first serve again. Kravchuk dictating where to go, where to serve, what to do, where she's going to move. Serve is to the body of Roger Veselin. Hits good backhand return. Siegmund gets there on the volley, but doesn't put it away. And then this time, Kravchuk tries to poach and intercept, but she puts the volley in the net. And we've got an early break of serve for the number two seed, Siegmund and Roger Veselin.
I'm not sure whether that was by design from Roger Veselin, but it was a very crisply struck forehand. The angle was going to be quite sharp. Kravchuk, having committed, was then faced with an exceptionally tricky volley to try and poach, and not to be.
Yeah, that I formation, the way that Kravchuk crouches but doesn't really get down that low, for normal people, trying to make sure your serve doesn't hit her, wouldn't be that easy. There'd be quite a few smacks, I think.
You wouldn't want to drag it into the net too frequently. You'd be hoping that your partner, if they're going to miss, they're going to miss deep and long. And it's an interesting one, because when you're serving in doubles, you do want to be finding those angles wide. And so quite often that does tend to lead to a miss into the net.
I mean, we've played a lot of doubles and mixed doubles in our lives at junior level and other levels. And I've been hit in the back by a full-blooded serve, which left a ball mark on my back. I've been hit most places, just not in the... I haven't been hit in the back of the head, thank God.
Oh, it's the one that hits the ear that's the most painful for mine.
Oh, yeah, that's very... nasty. As a good serve from Roger Veselin has returned over the baseline from the left-handed Kravchuk. Interesting that Kravchuk plays on the deuce court and Skupski on the backhand side. Skupski's backhand is better than his forehand, but also they've got the two forehands down the middle of the court, protecting what is traditionally the vulnerable section of the court for players. And you do see that quite a lot in doubles. It's about what's comfortable for you. As Roger Veselin serves out wide, backhand return from Skupski, and the volley from Siegmund is sharp at the net. Siegmund's made a very good start. Siegmund, the more accomplished of the four in singles, really the only one these days that plays a lot of singles. Roger Veselin used to, but Siegmund's been pretty highly ranked in singles, and these two are a scratch pairing. It's their first time they've teamed up together. Certainly done very well to get to the final, as Roger Veselin hammers down an ace. It's 40 love.
Yeah, at 36 years old, Siegmund, she's the number six ranked player in doubles as well. So she's, clearly very, very accomplished in all formats of the game. 14 doubles titles to her name, which is, superb. She's a winner at Grand Slam level in terms of doubles.
I formation from Roger Veselin and Siegmund. Neither of them need to hit it because Skupski fires long, and a great start for the number two seeds. They hold to love, and it's two games to love.
Having won that doubles title with Vera Zvonareva at the US Open in 2020, she won a mixed doubles as well with Pavic in 2016, also at the US Open. So you can see her nous, because she's a very, very accomplished clay court player, but to be able to win titles on hard courts as well. Just a good quality all-round performer. The type of player you'd love to have in terms of representative tennis, Billie Jean King Cup.
So Skupski at the net as Kravchuk serves, goes down the line with a forehand. Good retrieval by Roger Veselin. Skupski gets there on the smash, doesn't put it away. He's got to reload on the forehand. Here he comes into a shorter ball. Siegmund, good reaction at the net, and Skupski goes long with a forehand.
So it's all one-way traffic so far here on court. Philippe Chatrier. Siegmund and Roger Veselin are really playing well, and there's been a lot of misses from the number four seed so far at the other end, perhaps rushing things just a little bit on the big stadium court.
Yeah, mostly from Skupski so far. These two have played together quite a lot, and we've seen them around the Grand Slams. They, in terms of how they've played together... let's have a look. They have won Wimbledon, of course, in 2022, beating Sam Stosur and Matt Ebden in the final. And they've been in the final of the Australian Open. They lost to this year, actually. They lost to Shea Sui and Jan Zielinski. So they got their revenge yesterday in that one. Now they're trying to see if they can get over the line here. They played against each other here in the Roland Garros final. Krawczyk, number 8 in the doubles last year. She reached last year. She's won 4 Grand Slam mixed doubles titles. She, with Joe Salisbury, she won the US Open and Roland Garros in 2021 and won Wimbledon in 21 and 22 with Skupski. So very experienced. She serves at 15-all. I think Eleanor Preston was making the point yesterday that, you know, she's a real mixed doubles specialist, as good as she is in women's doubles as well. She'll be in the women's doubles at the Olympics, but she won't be able to play mixed doubles because she's not in the singles. The only way you can play mixed at the Olympics is you have to be one of the singles players, which is a strange sort of thing, but you can understand it too, because otherwise you'd have an awful lot of people hanging around in the tournament. Oh, miss from Siegemund at the net on the volley, and it's 30-15.
Just got a little awkwardly positioned there. It was a powerful drive return from her partner, Roger Veselin, which almost clipped the baseline, and Krajicek good enough to recover in terms of the ground stroke, but Sigamon had a chance there, didn't quite put that forehand volley away.
It's a bit rough, the Olympic thing, for Krajicek, because she would obviously have a pretty good chance, you would think.
Oh, I would think that you'd be lining up to partner her, given her record.
Yeah, some of the Americans would be some very good partnerships there. The Olympics at mixed doubles is always good, because you do get some incredibly strong pairs with the best singles players in the world and some of the best doubles players too. So, 30-15 as Sigmund returns hard down the line. Good lob from Krawczyk. Is really smart, actually, and the volley when it comes to Skupski is easy for Skupski to put into the open court.
And so now a couple of game points to get on the board. We've had a couple of people writing in, which is wonderful, including our correspondent around the ground. So, yeah. Marcus Buckland. We'll get to his notes very soon, but good to see him out working. I know that
he's out watching a lot of juniors. He's been supporting them. It's really good. 40-15, Krawczyk serving. Just goes long. Serving to the forehand of Roger Veselin. Skupski, we can see his hand signals from here. Looks like he's staying after the serve. Didn't see where he was telling Krawczyk to serve. She goes down the middle of the block. Skupski does stand his ground and then tries to poach, but good play from Roger Veselin, really sharp at the net, goes down the line with a volley, and the backhand volley flies long from Skupski.
Good impressive intent on that occasion. Saw that there was a chance to sneak in behind that return. Skupski, you know, good hands, but not quite able to control it.
You see a lot of the players are so good these days at poaching at the net, picking off volleys, and volleying's changed. You know, when we were young, you used to be taught to move across to volley. But now it's very much on the angle, straight. You know, you get close to the net, you're cutting off the angle. It's a much easier volley. But it's something you have to learn if you didn't grow up playing that way. Still game point to Skupski and Krawczyk. And they get a little bit lucky. They've held serve, but Roger Veselin should have put that backhand volley away. Ended up framing it long, and they're on the board, the number 4 seeds. It's 2-1 to the number 2 seed. Is that the right way around?
Get these right.
Let's have a look. Number 2 seeds, yep. Sigmund and Roger Veselin, 2-1.
It's so great to have some correspondence from both around the world, but also for on-site. We'll start with the on-site. Marcus Buckland, who will be on air a little later today for the women's semi-finals. The first final of Roland Garros 2024 is underway and features a super talented Brit, Skupski. Now, it's good that he's listening in. It's yeah. Great. We have Barb's Buckland writing to ask Marcus a question, but perhaps we can throw this to you, Simon. What are you making of Novak and his surgery? Some analysts are saying that he's on the decline now. I disagree, but then I'm a Nole fan. Eager to hear your thoughts. I'll give mine as well after you've had a say there.
Yes, I was going to say that Novak actually gave an update on Instagram this morning. Just going to find it and read it out to you. He had his surgery yesterday morning, and it's not very handy asking me to log in. I will find it here instead.
I can read it.
If you can read that?
Yes, I can read it. I'm sure I can. We're well put together here.
technically brilliant.
Novak today. In the past, I've had to make some tough decisions after sustaining the meniscus tear during my last match. I'm still processing it all, but I'm happy to update you that the surgery went well. I'll get back to this after this point here.
Keep reading. It's okay. Well, we'll keep you informed. It's Sigerman serving at 2-1. She serves out wide and misses. Djokovic had the surgery yesterday morning, just to update you on a meniscus tear in his right knee. Sigerman serves to the body of Kravchuk, who gets out of the way and hits a good backhand down the line, and the lob from Sigerman goes long.
I am so appreciative of the team doctors who have been by my side, as well as the overwhelming support I have received from my fans. I'm going to do my best to be healthy and fit to return to the court as soon as possible. My love for this sport is strong, and the desire to compete at the highest level is what keeps me going. Idemo.
So there's no time frame as to his recovery, but it does seem like, it looks like it's going to be at least 3 weeks. It looks like Wimbledon is very unlikely. You never know with Djokovic. He's a very fast healer, but he is 37. It maybe doesn't heal as quickly as he used to, and meniscus tears can be rough. So it's going to be hard for him to... I don't think he'll be at Wimbledon. It's really awkward to start back on the grass where your knees take a... You know, they twist a lot. So hopefully he'll be able to get back in time for the Olympics. I think that's his main aim.
Absolutely a big goal for him this year. It's probably the one thing that's missing from his... from his trophy cabinet, the Olympic singles gold medal.
It's really the only thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and we know how desperate he is to try and clinch that.
Sigerman serving at 15-all, 2-1 with a break. Edouard Roger-Vasselin crouching low. Good effort at 40. Good return from Kravchuk, and the backhand blasted long from Sigerman, 15-30.
Now, as to whether he's in decline, Barbs, it's an interesting one. If you look at his remarkable deeds last year, winning 3 of the 4 Grand Slam titles and... reaching the final in the other, where he played that fantastic decider against Carlos Alcaraz at Wimbledon, and had his strong tie-break form held in that second set. Who knows, it may well have been a calendar slam. So it's the loftiest of bars, the highest of bars. So if you look at his results this year in that regard, well, you know, you can make the argument he's in decline because he hasn't been able to back that up. But it's such a high standard that it's almost impossible. To get to this stage of the year without a title and then have this injury is concerning. He hasn't yet played in the final this season. So I suppose the bare facts are that it's not been as good a season, clearly. But is he in decline? Is it a season that other players would love? Well, let's put it this way. He lost to the eventual champion Jannik Sinner in the Australian Open final in a semi-final.
Yep.
And he was unbeaten here. So he's effectively, what is he, 9-1 for the year in terms of
Grand Slam
singles results. It's not bad tennis. It's still exceptional tennis.
He's not lost it. He just needs to stay fit. That's the thing. He said he was talking about how he'd had some problems, you know, behind the scenes, off the court, and maybe that was with his knee, we just don't know. So staying healthy will be the key for him at this age especially. A couple of break-back points for Kravchuk and Skupski as Kravchuk waits to return the Sigerman serve. She goes down the line again, and Skupski should get that volley, but he misses. It's on the angle. I think he just was a little bit worried about what Roger Vasselin was doing moving at the net, but he had space there to put that ball away. Kravchuk just encouraging her partner. Skupski, a big Liverpool FC fan in England, football. He and his brother Ken. Really nice guys. Worked really hard. Both went to university in the US. Sigerman serves 30-40. Down the middle. Whipped forehand down the line from Skupski. Oh, it was good, but it was just wide. Nailed it.
Oh, it was the right shot. The execution was almost perfect, but almost is not good enough on this occasion.
Rob says, I'm pulling for the Franco-German pairing. I think the home crowd needs at least one winner. Did I hear you guys right? Have they let the grounds pass people in to lend some atmosphere? They certainly have. And it's doing a great job because the whole of the lower bowl is completely full, which is really great to see. And it's creating a lovely atmosphere here for this match, and the players will appreciate it so much. I mean, it's hard to overstate what a difference it makes. 2-1 deuce, Siegerman serving. Standing to serve very close to the centre line, and with Roger Vassan also near the centre. It's basically the I formation. She serves, second serve. Right on the angle to Krabcek. Really good second serve from Siegerman, and Krabcek couldn't get it down the line where she was intending. And that was the deciding point, of course, in mixed doubles. They play a deuce and deciding point. Speeds up the game no end.
So it can be on a knife's edge, these, yeah. Even if you have a game point at 40-15 or 15-40 on that occasion, a couple of just, narrow misses and all of a sudden the game's gone.
Exactly. Or you could be 30-40 and you're actually facing two break points. Just sort of hard to understand at first, but the players got used to this system a lot. And this is the kind of, these are the formats that played at in club matches a lot nowadays, just to ensure that matches finish on time. And I think everyone's used to it pretty much, playing sudden death deuce. This receiver chooses which side to return. No chance of that return from Siegerman, because Skupski aced down the tee. And it's an interesting dynamic in mixed, isn't it? The men's serve you'd expect to be a lot stronger and unbreakable, but actually it's not always the case.
It's a tricky one because the net player is so, comes into it so much. It's very important role at the net. So yes, the serve's important, but because the player at the net has so much command or control of a point.
Reach.
And generally the guys tend to have a bit more reach. Certainly you look at Roger Vassalon, and he's a big, tall man. And, his partner, Lara Siegerman, is not short in any way, shape or form, but he stands a good head taller and as a result has the wider wingspan. And that can have an impact in terms of the doubles.
Skupski holds to love. Skupski and Krawczyk hold the Skupski serve to love. Yeah, Siegerman is good at the net, but just understandably her reach is not as wide or as extensive as Roger Vassalon, who's much taller. So sometimes it works that the women's serve can be the harder one to break, depending on the strength of the serve as well, of course. As Krawczyk just sitting there, stretching out a little bit. Skupski sitting down finally after getting something from the fridge. The benches here that the players sit on are really well designed. At the back of them, they all have little drawers to pull out, and they've got all the towels in. It's very nicely done.
It's very, very, very neat, very efficient. Yeah. Great design. Clearly a lot of work goes into space and how to use it best on a tennis court, because there's quite a lot of activity out there, from the sponsorship hoardings to the ball boys to the security guards to the lines people as well. You have the on-court camera hovering extremely low to give you a great close-up vision of the players as they prepare to serve before it comes back up. Dressing the court, it's such a beautiful phrase for it. And to dress this court and to dress the courts outside, a lot of work goes into making this immaculate tennis court exactly that, immaculate.
Absolutely. A lot of people are involved as Roger Vassalon starts his serves game. Lob from Krawczyk. In comes Roger Vassalon, another lob from Krawczyk. This time it'll be Siegerman to smash. Goes on the angle. Skupski, good reach on the backhand side. Probably not going to get that, though, because Roger Vassalon smashes straight down the middle. Message on Twitter. Loli says, I'm watching this right now on Eurosport. Good luck, Neil. Yep. She's got a picture of Eurosport's coverage. I hope you're listening to us, too. I'm sure you are. Thank you very much for all... to everyone who's been listening over the 2 weeks. We've still got 4 days to go. Plenty of amazing tennis to come, we hope. And we love listening to, we love hearing from you all and finding out where you're listening from and what you're doing. I've had some people listening on aeroplanes this week, which has been great. Impressive to see the Wi-Fi working these days, which is good. As Skupski goes inside out to the backhand of Roger Vassalon, tries to go down the line past Krawczyk, but misses. And it's 15-all.
Also, cruise liners.
Cruise liners. That's good.
Our esteemed colleague Chris Bowers had a particular fan of his commentary style and went right in to listen. Not sure if it meant he was going to go overboard or whether it was just a contentment.
Yeah, obviously, whatever it was working. Roger Vasselin just catches his ball toss and serves just long. Roger Vasselin wearing blue shorts, white shirt with a green stripe across it, and a white cap. Second serve down the middle. Kravchuk slams the forehand return down the line past Sigurmund. And that's what makes her so good. She can go, she can hit almost any shot. Being a lefty, that serve down the tee, normally the go-to serve for a doubles player because it cuts the angles, but then you're risking playing it to the forehand of these players, and that can be tough.
She absolutely ripped that forehand. Beautifully struck. Not that far over the net, but didn't need to be. It was well played.
This is Roger Vasselin's second Grand Slam mixed doubles final. Got to the final in New York at the US Open with Kirsten Flipkins in 2022 and ended up losing to Sanders and Piers, and a mistake from Roger Vasselin, and it's a couple of break points. Three, in fact, 15-40. Now that it's sudden death juice.
So the second opportunity in succession for Krajicek and Skupski to retrieve the break. They had 15-40 on the Sigurmund serve as well a couple of games ago.
This is first Roland Garros mixed doubles final, but he did win here in the men's doubles in 2014, 10 years ago, with Julien Beneteau, Antoine's brother. Antoine will be back tomorrow on the Radio Roland Garros. Smash from Roger Vasselin. Good get by Kravchuk. Is it going to land out? Yes, just. One break point saved.
We had the good fortune of hitting a couple of days ago at a beautiful club in Paris, Simon, a tennis club de Paris.
De Paris.
And
TCP to the locals.
In that team, the 2014 championship team was Julien Beneteau. So it's an interesting one. He wins the Roland Garros doubles.
And goes and plays for his club.
And wins the French national championship for his club, TCP.
Well, same thing happened a couple of years ago with Gilles Simon, who also plays at TCP, as Roger Vasselin serves to the forehand of Skupski, who overhits the return. And interesting to see who takes the return here. I think it's going to be Skupski again. It is. But after that return, I'm surprised Kravchuk didn't say, let me take it. Simon went and played in the French National Club Championships. They have this gathering towards the end of the year, and he was involved in that. I think Pauline Parmentier was playing too. Lots of pros turned up and played in that. Good serve from Roger Vasselin onto the back edge of the service line. The backhand is netted by Skupski. The opportunities go begging, and the number two seeds extend their lead to 4-2.
So that's effectively six opportunities to break, to retrieve the service break that they've had here, Kravchuk and Skupski. And on each occasion, the Franco-German combination has been able to come up with the goods, some really solid play when under pressure. And they lead now 4-2 in what's been a very entertaining opening set of this mixed doubles final at Roland Garros.
Yeah, a few missed opportunities really for Kravchuk and Skupski, as Kravchuk smashes a bounce smash, but Roger Vasselin right on top of the return, and then gets a little bit of luck off the net, does Kravchuk, and Skupski takes advantage as the long falls short, pushed the smash away with ease.
There's also plenty of action unfolding outside as well, which we'll get to at the end of this first set and just provide some updates. Lots of junior tennis, some quarterfinals of the boys and girls singles, some wheelchair tennis being played as well. We've got some men's doubles semi-finals beginning on court Susan Longlon as well. So lots to keep the crowds entertained.
Yeah, it's a really nice day so far. Yeah, it's about 19, 20 degrees, plenty of sunshine, nice and warm for the players as Kravchuk serves at 15 love. Oh, return from Sigurmund gets it all wrong off. Maybe she was a bit confused by the serve, but the bounce was odd too, and she just played it straight to Skupski, who swatted it away. 30 love. Yeah, lots going on, and of course today, later on, at 3 o'clock local time, it'll be the first of the two semi-finals on the women's singles, between Iga Świątek and Coco Gauff. Świątek, three-time champion. Coco Gauff looking to get to the final for the second time. And then it'll be Mira Andreeva and Jasmin Paolini, who I don't think is a semi-final too many people would have picked, but it's going to be a cracker 17-year-old Andreeva looking to get to her first final. This is her first semi. It was her first quarter yesterday. She beat Arina Sabalenka, who sadly was not feeling great. She said she'd been struggling with a bit of a stomach bug for a few days. But you've got to give all credit to Andreeva, who played a fantastic match, as did Paolini in reaching her first semi-final of a Grand Slam too. Lob return from Siegermund is fairly short, and actually she had a chance to go down the line as Skupski poached, but missed it, and the Skupski-Krabcek combination closed to within a game at 4-3 to Siegermund and Roger Vasselin.
A love service hold there. Krabcek, a very, very strong performance. What are you most looking forward to in today's women's semi-final, Simon?
I'm looking forward to... I really like watching Mira Andreeva. I think she's got a lovely style of play. She's improving all the time. At that age, players do improve very, very quickly. She's maturing physically, so she's getting stronger. She's getting better and better. Paolini will be a tough challenge for her, but they played recently in Madrid. Andreeva did get the better of her, so that will stand her in good stead. But I'm really looking forward to Świątek Goff. I think I'm really impressed by the way Coco Gauff has... She came into this tournament having had a couple of tournaments where her serve was a real issue. She was struggling with double faults a lot. It'll be interesting to see what happens today under pressure, but she's cut them down completely for this tournament. So it's almost like she's sort of reset to what she... You know, just rely on what you know, get it done. The rest of her game is working very well. She's played exceptionally well to get to this stage. Iga Świątek had that huge scare against Naomi Osaka when she had a match point against her in the second round. But since then, she's been unbeatable. She looks like she's going to be the champion again. But I'll be interested to see how Goff plays. She's often plays really well against Iga Świątek for a while, but then Świątek tends to take control. She's got to try and find something that works to get her into the match, and maybe hope that Iga's not on, you know, absolute top form. And then I think it could be an intriguing counter, but possibly the Paolini-Andreeva will be the better match or the closer match. So it's Siegermund serving, goes down the line with a forehand pass. Skupski, Siegermund's made a really good start to this match.
Absolutely, and that's a really positive way to start what is a critical game in this first set, given they have the service break. She'll be under pressure here. Krajicek and Skupski have had their chances in the last two service games to be able to find that forehand pass on the first point. 15 love. Just a little pressure release. A lot of work to do, but it just gives you that positive intent in doubles.
Good volley from Roger Vasselin. Great reaction from Krajicek, but actually the ball goes out. Did well to get the racket on the ball.
And the German was very watchful as that one ballooned up, whether or not it was going to land in. She watched it all the way beyond the baseline. So now 30 love, they have a chat behind the baseline, just trying to figure out what tactics they're going to use here. Had some success going to the Krajicek back end.
Neither team choosing to stand back, for the net player to stand back, which sometimes happens when there's a very heavy server. Krajicek wallops a forehand. Roger Vasselin was poaching across, but he had to check his movement and couldn't control the volley. It's 30-15.
Yeah, I think even if it does open up the back end a little bit, I'll be going to the Krajicek back end based on what we've seen in the last couple of games with the American. Absolutely thunderbolts and lightning in that forehand when she gets a swing at it.
Yeah, she's not afraid to go after the ball. It's 30-15. First serve was swinging from Siegermund, but goes long.
Ball toss was further out to the right, and she really sliced around that one.
Yeah. Second serve, bit of pressure on 30-15. Better ball toss, better serve down the tee. Good return from Skupski, though. Now he goes inside out with a forehand. Roger Vasselin thinks about trying to poach, doesn't, and then the rip forehand down the line from Skupski is probably the best shot he's hit so far. 30-all.
Sees the initiative when the ball from the forehand from Siegermund just landed before the service line. Not a lot of pace on it. He was able to dash round it and really opened that up. It was going to take a miracle reflex from Roger Vasselin to be able to cover that forehand. It's a 30-all.
Yeah, from 30 love to 30 all, 4-3, Siegmund and Roger Vasselin leading. Siegmund serving, just moves her position to the nearer the tee. Then she said aye to Roger Vasselin, who crouches fairly low. Second serve. Kravchuk waits, crouching. Siegmund serves. Tries to find the back end of Kravchuk, and she does, off the line. It skids off the line, and Kravchuk can't get the ball back into play. Needed to be accurate, she was.
Oh, a really effective slicing serve as well. You can see she gets a lot of work on that serve. Now, it was only hit at 135 kilometres an hour, but if you're getting that angle short enough on the juice court and it's slicing heavily, makes it a really tricky serve to try and return.
Let us know what you are looking forward to in the women's semis today. Świątek, Goff, Paulini, Andreeva. Let us know who you think is going to be in the final, how they're going to go. Twitter at @radio_RG. Email frenchopenradio@fft.fr. Ooh, Skupski nails Roger Vasselin with a massive forehand that I think hit him in the hip or the side of the body as he turned. That was a vicious return. Just looking at back on our monitor. Oh, it hit him, yeah, right on the right hip. Could have been worse. Could have been a lot worse.
No apology. It's
unrequired.
Required. Oh, a little hand, yeah, up just then as he was making his way back to the net.
He didn't mean to hit him, obviously, but it's juice. It's break point. Break back point. Siegmund serving to Kravchuk. German serves onto the sideline. The volley is easily put away by Roger Vasselin, standing right on top of the net, right in the centre of the court. The plan worked. Good serving from Siegmund in the end, and she holds, and it's 5-3.
The finest of margins. Three chances now at, they've had six, effectively seven break point opportunities to try and retrieve it, given the last three service games from Siegmund and from Roger Vasselin have gone to the golden point or the decisive point.
Yeah, that's all it takes sometimes, fine margins. They've had their opportunities, haven't been able to take them. Now they're serving to stay in this first set. Skupski serving. Misses the first serve. Again, Kravchuk goes through the instructions. Skupski's ready. Serve down the tee. Volley from Kravchuk, short. Roger Vasselin gets there. Not that quickly. Lob from Skupski. Volley from Kravchuk. Oh, a bit of luck from Roger Vasselin at the net. Crowd like that. Just forehand volley hits the top of the net and drops over for a winner. It's love 15.
It's a short, sharp exchange of volleys at the net. Siegmund had to leap high, double-fisted that one straight to Kravchuk, who responded with the quick reflex volley to Roger Vasselin and able to make it. A very awkward position. Hands up an apology, but I'm sure they're not that sorry.
No, sorry, not sorry. Skupski serving at love 15. Ace out wide to Siegmund, who was expecting the serve down the tee. She was leaning that way. That's where Skupski's been going a lot. Changes it up, finds the line and hits another ace. 15-0. Quick chat between Skupski and Kravchuk. Kravchuk runs forward, takes her position at the net. Halfway up the service box and moving forward as the ball comes. You see a lot of people with their position, the non-receiver, the net player, they take their position to start with, and then as the ball is hit, they move forward. There's another change to the way it used to be. It was very static. But now people sort of take a slightly deeper position and make sure they've got that forward momentum. It's very, very, very effective. Good lob return from Roger Vasselin and a miss hit forehand from Skupski. I think he thought about slamming it inside out at Siegmund and then changed his mind and then caught the edge of the racket. 15-30.
Just overhit that one. Oh, well, not overhit it. As you said, just had too much time almost.
Yeah.
Too many options to consider.
So it's 15-30. A couple of points away from this first set for Siegmund and Roger Vasselin. German-French combination. Big serve down the tee from Skupski. Saves their blushes and gets them back to 30-all.
It's a sunshine sunscreen day today. It's one of the first times we've really had clear skies. A couple of days ago, it was a lovely day, but this is a clear sky day again. Hats and sunglasses are evident in the crowd. Last week, it was scarves, thick jackets.
Another big serve from Skupski. Then puts a smash, bounce smash away very neatly. Plays it on the angle. Doubles players use the angles very well. And, you know, we talk about doubles and why singles players don't play.